Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the P1 podcast with Matt and Tommy. It is post-Japanese qualifying edition. It is memory erasure edition for a certain me, but we'll get on to that. I'm actually wearing a Red Bull shirt, so really happy to have secured the first 1-2 in qualifying of the season. Really happy to have seen such a great performance from the Red Bull team. Unexpected, wouldn't you say, Tommy? We were not thinking that Red Bull would be quick around here, were we?
I'm just thinking that you're wearing your Red Bull shirt and you did the start of last year, and that's when Perez was best. So maybe that Red Bull shirt is giving Perez the good vibes that he needs.
Maybe. Let's see. I'll wear it. I won't wear it tomorrow because clearly I am actually boosting Red Bull's performance right now, and that's not what quite
they're too
not
powerful.
Quite what I was after.
They're too powerful.
Yeah, they are too powerful. We don't know. But anyway, we need to speak about something before we get into it, because you were going to put something at the top of the show, but it just says early morning comment bingo on the sheet, which basically was me going to complain about the early morning, and you were hoping that I didn't read that in the sheet. But I did read that in the sheet, but I'm not going to complain about the early morning. I have been very ill, though, so I'm going to complain about that instead.
Same.
So if I sound a little bit hoarse or a little bit, well, actually, I was going to say depressed, that's because of Charles Leclerc. But if I sound a bit hoarse, it's, yeah, because I've not been very well. And you've been unwell as well, Tommy.
Yeah, I'm losing my voice.
Oh,
so great. This is great for a podcast, really. Two people losing their voice. I mean, this is the content everyone just wants, isn't it?
You want a little TLC?
Yeah.
Only a couple of hours away. Anyway, let's get into Q1, shall we? Where the five drivers out were Stroll, Gasly, Magnussen, Sargeant, and Zhou. Of course. Well, I think there's a couple of big stories on this one. First and foremost, Mr. Lance Stroll not making it out of Q1. That has very much tastings of 2023, if we remember Lance going on quite the drastically bad qualifying run and allegedly yeeting his mechanic, because we didn't quite see it on camera. And it's back to that way, apparently, because that was a horrible session for Lance, who, of course, has the new upgrades. So does Alonso as well. Lance had the upgrades earlier and was able to run it on the Friday, but could not extract any performance whatsoever and was gapped by his teammate by 0.8 of a second in Q1.
Wow. Yeah, I know Alonso, you know, I'll banter that Alonso's the GOAT, but it's also as much that Stroll is just terrible, and it's kind of boring now, just the amount of times that we're just talking about him being out in Q1. He's got a very good car underneath him. You know, we were saying in the qualifying watch-along, the gap between Formula A and Formula B meant that people that were even, you know, in an eighth place and stuff didn't have to even go out and do another lap because the gap's so big and you've got such a comfortable margin. But apparently not if you're Lance Stroll, because you're still going out in Q1. His qualifying is just awful. Like, it always has been. It's just terrible at qualifying. And, you know, tomorrow he might end up on the back of Alonso or, you know, bag a point. But, you know,
if he ends up on the back of Alonso, fair play, he's getting driver of the day. Well done.
You know, that
he's not, because that's not good enough. Back of Alonso, that's GOAT things right there. If he manages to be on the back of him, if he's 20 seconds behind, that's not
then
quite
get
on the
baited
back
into
him.
Another Lance Stroll, absolutely useless in qualifying, and then just finishing where he's meant to. Like,
well, yeah, we'll blink and
it'll
be 10.
It's just, honestly, it's just annoying now.
Tommy is so triggered, it's frightening. Love that. So, of course, Gasly as well. A bit of a disappointing qualifying for him, just purely because Ocon showed some sort of potential in that first part of qualifying, actually beating him by 0.3 seconds, and then celebrating like he'd just won his first world championship, which is quite... I mean, look, he's got passion. He's excited to maybe move forward with Alpine, but now is literally only a couple of spots ahead after not the greatest of Q2 sessions, didn't improve on his time whatsoever. But yeah, Gasly just couldn't find the performance. Then you had Magnussen, again, being chefed by Hülkenberg, it has to be said. Logan Sargeant. And then Zhou Guanyu, the final qualifier. Question from P1 Patreon member Ruben. What is going on with Zhou? Another stinky quali this weekend. This was a very stinky quali. I do notice when we do our driver ratings that we have to analyse Zhou's races very thoroughly, because usually something happens that is not his fault. But as far as I saw... that was just a very poor quali from him. Bottas gapped him by 0.5 seconds. Actually, quite a lot of gappings going on in Q1 between teammates, which is not something you tend to see, just purely because they're driving the same car. But Zhou, that was really... And that's the third time in a row now that he'll start last.
Yeah.
Well, or qualify last.
Yeah, Zhou's not had a great start to the season. Obviously, of course, Sauber don't seem that great, but we're still waiting for Zhou to deliver... something.
I love your voice, by the way.
I don't know what's going on with my voice.
It's your voice. No, it's great. Honestly, it's like a
The
problem with Zhou is, I think, he almost maybe goes a little bit under the radar. Obviously, the pressure is on your Logan Sargeants, because not only is he under delivering, he's having a lot of crashes and incidents, whereas I think that Zhou is quite he doesn't tend to have many incidents or things like that, so he's kind of quietly sort of not doing particularly well, but the pressure doesn't seem to be on him as much because he doesn't have those big moments, and by big moments I mean like noticeable moments like Sargeant, where he's in the wall and it's like, oh, what's going to happen to his seat. Zhou's just kind of normally always out in Q1, and yeah, it goes under the radar, but you got to think that, you know, this guy's gonna, that team's gonna become Audi, and if he's gonna want to keep his seat, he can't be finishing qualifying P20 every week.
You just can't see it, can you? Can't see
not at all.
Zhou keeping his seat if there is all of these musical chairs going on in the next couple of years. I just feel as though he'll be one of those to miss out, especially when you have these young talent waiting in the wings as well. It's not good enough. As we've said several times, Zhou should be beating Bottas, who is just having the time of his life, recording Uber adverts and all sorts of stuff. You know, that's just, Bottas is having a great time, but he's up in 13th. So a great quality performance from him. Speaking of Logan Sargeant just a minute ago, Arik Ski comes in with, after those practices and quali, how soon will Logan be replaced? Could he be gone in one or two races if he doesn't keep it out of the wall? I don't think it's going to be as knee-jerk as that, personally. I don't think James Vowles is going to be that aggressive. I think if Logan continues to cost the team and they are running out of parts left, right and centre, then maybe some drastic decisions need to be made. But then it is, again, who would then fill that slot? For me, it just doesn't make too much sense. I think there is also some American ties that are obviously maybe favouring Logan staying in that seat as well, which I'm sure pulls a few strings. But I don't think he'll be gone in one or two races, but he has to watch his back if he keeps binning parts that are very, very precious to a Williams team.
One or two races is a bit much. I think we're looking at the summer break. If he's not improved, he has to beat Albon at least once in a qualifying session or a race or something. It's just not happening. So I think he'll be fine until the summer break. But if he's carrying on as he was in the summer break, as we go into the summer break, then I think, the pressure will be on. And just to clarify something in the previous podcast, Kimi Antonelli does have enough super license points already, which is pretty crazy, actually.
Wow. And he's old enough.
It depends when he's 18. So after the summer, because of Max Verstappen, you're not allowed to drive until you're 18, 25th of August, which is about the summer break.
Oh my goodness gracious me.
Lines up nicely.
But if we are speaking, I will give Logan a little bit of benefit of the doubt for qualifying. If we're looking at that specifically, just under 0.2 away from Alex Albon, it's not an absolute disaster compared to some other teammate comparisons that we've had in this podcast. So
your career's not going so well when we're going, oh, it's not too bad that he's 0.2 off Alex Albon. Yeah, well done, Logan. P19.
Tommy.
Sorry, I'm sell yourself.
I know it's in the morning, but you might guys get a little bit too much of that salt shaker up. And finally, question from Q1. That was not good English. P1 Patreon member Katie, are Aston Martin's new upgrades as good as they think, considering Lance didn't make it out of Q1 with them? I don't think they're incredible, because Alonso didn't do anything massively different to perhaps what we might expect from him. P5, which is, you know, still in the mix. But it's more the fact that it's Lance Stroll driving the other car. It's as simple as that, really. Like the Aston Martin clearly still has a good baseline for Fernando to be up there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's more around... I guess it's hard as well for a team to be able to really judge how good an upgrade is, because you've got Fernando Alonso, who is one of the best drivers on the grid, even at his age, but you don't really have a second teammate to really be able to benchmark it properly, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, the upgrade that Aston Martin need is a new driver, because it's just, the benchmark is Alonso. And like you say, if you give a driver an upgrade, say like other teammates that are quite close, you give an upgrade, if they both jump up the order, perfect, whatever, like you can see that it's working. But Fernando Alonso as well is notorious at getting the most out of a car, and sometimes can... throughout his career has driven terrible cars and sometimes maybe done even better than he should be doing. So it's actually a really hard comparison to know, because Lance is just gonna do Lance things, and we'll see. It's just not, they're gonna have to, I think Lance is definitely holding them back now though, because they're not gonna be able to develop the car.
He was last year as well.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah.
I do find it fascinating that they gave him the upgrades first, though. Like, it's just, you just think Aston Martin. I'm sure there are PR answers for this. I don't know why we're both really emotional with froggy throats, but the thing is, if you genuinely want to win, why are you not just giving everything to Fernando and going, is this any good? Why are you giving it to Lance to test bed? I know that the argument would be, oh, Fernando's on the old spec and they can compare, but they can't. That's the thing. You don't know what the extent to the potential of this upgrade is unless you just give it to Fernando and find out. I just find it a waste of time to give it to Lance personally. So
yeah, how can you compare Lance Stroll with upgrades and Alonso without them? They're probably one of... if not the teammate pairing with the biggest, they are the biggest gap in talent. So it's not gonna learn much, are they?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Right, let's move on now from Lance Stroll slander to Q2. Daniel Ricciardo, Nico Hülkenberg, Valtteri Bottas, Alex Albon, and Esteban Ocon were the five drivers out. Question from P1 Patreon member Snowborn. Will Danny be able to beat Yuki in the race? And how will it be affecting him keeping his seat? Yeah, there's no Daniel Ricciardo slander to be had this time out. You have to note the fact that Daniel did not drive in FP1 because Iwasa was in his car. FP2 was a washout. So Daniel really started his driving on the Saturday, today. And to be within half a tenth of Yuki Tsunoda, who is driving very well. This is where I think we all as Formula One fans need to just remember that both drivers can be doing quite well, and it doesn't have to be one's doing great and one's doing horrendous. Like, it's not that polar opposite kind of thing. I know that this is what a lot of people jump on. Oh, Charles Leclerc's washed. He's one tenth behind Carlos Sainz. Chill out.
I knew you were setting up for that one.
Just teed that up and then smashed it out the park. But again, with Tsunoda and Ricciardo, this is what I would expect from Danny Ric. Obviously, when we were doing our predictions at the beginning, we were saying that prediction at the start of the season, that he does need to beat Tsunoda. That's if he wants the Red Bull seat. But to keep a seat in Formula One, that's fine to match Yuki Tsunoda, in my opinion, especially when Yuki is getting into Q3. They're both firing on a decent level. They are top of Formula B. I think that Daniel has had a much stronger showing so far this weekend.
Yeah, it's not been that bad. We'll see how he gets on in the race, which is where it really matters. But you can't, based on how the season's gone, you can't take anything away from Daniel Ricciardo or talk him down for that performance. Because while Yuki, and rightly, like you say, deserves the headlines for getting into Q3, it's not really that much difference. And the sad thing is with this Formula A, Formula B, is Yuki had that brilliant performance to get into Q3, but he might as well have just sat in the pit lane because you're never going to beat any of those top cars anyway.
Exactly. So it was literally a battle to get into 10th after Lance Stroll was knocked out in Q1, and that's what Yuki Tsunoda managed. I guess the other drivers out, Hülkenberg had a great performance in the Haas. Bottas, a great performance as well in the Steak F1 Team Kickstarter. But those two really performing, I would say, in the sort of midfield teams. Then Albon, again, I mean, nothing. Williams, as much as they've been saying that they're developing a car that's more consistent over the course of a season, I wonder if that direction, at least in the short term, is going to bite them in the bottom because they aren't performing incredibly well at some races and terribly at others. It just feels like they're almost levelling out at a pretty poor performance because, again, and this is not something they could have planned for, but the top five teams are so far ahead that you almost need those stellar weekends 100%. In order to score a point or two. And it doesn't feel like we've seen that potential yet from Williams. Perhaps it will come in Monza, but maybe if they've stripped it out and gone for a bit more of a baseline over the course of the whole year, that might not happen either. So I do wonder if their direction might not have actually been the right one for this year.
It's a very good point, actually, because theoretically, on performance and probably in James Vowles' head, and how, like, you know, analytically speaking, it works, that if you have a car that is the seventh or eighth best car for the whole season, you know, enough for P12 to P14 every single race, that's obviously really good. But like you say, last year, having that car that maybe is not the best car, 17th, 18th, 19th, every single week, and then having two races a season where you can get a P7, P8, you're gonna end up with more points over a championship. So it's a very odd, it's a very odd situation to be in, but that is just the nature of Formula One until they, well, I don't think they will change the points, but it shows that might actually weirdly be a better approach to just be like, let's just build a car for Monza, try and finish sixth, and then we might get seventh in the championship because
literally
you're going to score more points than you are for the whole season. Like, it's going to be such a struggle for these teams to score points.
Exactly. It's more relying on DNFs. Finishing 12th or 14th, you need the top teams to have some problems, to crash into the wall, to have a mechanical issue. But in this day and era of Formula One, that doesn't seem to happen too much, apart from obviously when Crofty says you can hear the cheer of the crowds and then George Russell will end up in the wall. That's the only thing that actually happens, obviously, when Carlos Sainz is leading the race as well. But yes, with Williams, it is a very difficult situation, I think, for them to be sat in that sort of midfield languishing, because 12th to 14th don't get you no points, mate. And Ocon was 15th, again, no celebrations at the end of Q2. And Alpine, despite bringing the upgrades, looking about as... I mean, I suppose they've taken a small step forward from being 19th and 20th, but it's not it's not exactly a leap forward, is it?
No, it's not a huge step forward. I guess they are... It's an insane thing to say, but they're now in the mix with your Hasses and your Williams and Saubers.
Love that. Maybe they will go off the top, the bottom of the constructors by finishing higher than where Williams have. Who knows? Let's go to Q3 then. And, well, it was actually a surprisingly close finish between the two Red Bulls. Perez missing out on pole by 0.066 of a second. And it has to be said, first and foremost, Sergio Perez, what a performance. So the list was Verstappen, Perez, Norris, Sainz, Alonso, Piastri, Hamilton, Russell and Tsunoda. But yeah, Perez, definitely one of the stars of qualifying. Very impressive to get to that close to Verstappen. I know we joked about it on the Twitch watch along. Oh, you know, now we're giving him props for being even near Verstappen. But the thing is, Max has been performing on a literal record-breaking run. So for Perez to do that around a track that is very close in qualifying, and if you're missing a little bit, it can hurt you. But Perez on the front row of the grid, and will he give us a race tomorrow?
I'd love to see it. It's a shame we didn't get to see that moment, because it looked like Perez was actually going to be fastest, that even if Max had got it back, just to have that moment where he goes into P1, but missed out by the tiniest margin. And you've got to give credit to Perez, because he was very close to Verstappen, who's obviously driving incredibly well. Yes, the Red Bull is mighty around this track, and clearly, you know, has the edge on the field by quite some margin. But Perez is driving brilliantly. It's a big confidence boost after Australia, when we said, oh, you know, he had that great start to the season, but then he did last year. Is it all going to go downhill from here? And to deliver this performance, he just needs to have a good, solid race now. And it would be fascinating to see where his mindset is, because, of course, I wonder if there's that... It happened in Mexico, didn't it, where he saw the...
Win or bin.
I mean, my God.
Could we see the two Red Bulls collide
like
into
Senna
turn one?
Like a Prost moment where he just canes it down the inside. That would be something, wouldn't it?
That would be quite something. But Perez, yeah, great job from him. And that's the position he needs to be in. Qualifying has always been his hindrance this last year or so. But to be on the front row of the grid, surely that's going to allow him to finish P2 tomorrow if he gets a decent enough start and can just settle into the race behind Max. But maybe he'll be ahead of Max. Who knows? Another, obviously, great job as well from Lando Norris. P3, McLaren, great around here once again, which didn't know whether that was actually going to come to fruition, because it's an early stage of the year for McLaren to actually turn up and be good. And they did it. Lando, a great lap, not close enough to challenge the Red Bulls, but definitely close enough with their what seemingly is quite good race pace to challenge for a podium tomorrow. But I think it'll be a dogfight between the two McLarens, two Ferraris, maybe the two Ferraris. Hamilton's obviously in there as well. Alonso P5, I think P3. If we, you know, put some sticky tape over Verstappen and Perez tomorrow on the timing intervals, could be a battle for the ages.
The battle for P2 has become the battle for P3. Lando, actually, I know it's only... Oh, no, it is a couple of tenths, actually. Lando's sort of like... sat in no man's land, really. He's never going to get near the Red Bulls, but for him to be as far ahead of, you know, Sainz, Alonso, his teammate, Hamilton, Leclerc, Russell... is a very impressive performance, because all those guys behind him are exceptionally close, and Lando's done a brilliant performance. It just shows that this is a McLaren track, even despite them maybe not having the start to the year that maybe some of us would have thought based on how they ended last year. It's still a very good start compared to what McLaren normally do. But yeah, it's a very, very impressive lap.
Absolutely. So let's see what McLaren can deliver tomorrow. Question, TrizNak27. Is McLaren taking their second fastest spot again, or is it just the track? Well, I think...
It's the track.
It's the track. Obviously, they did incredibly well last year. Lando showed some amazing pace in the race. But it does pose the question. We thought Ferrari were the second fastest car. They've solidified that now. And then we come to a very unique track like Suzuka, and all of a sudden, Ferrari aren't the second fastest. And we get a similar trend perhaps starting to form that we saw last year, where it's Mercedes, McLaren, Aston Martin taking that second spot. So I do wonder if we're going to see a similar trend as we go to more unique tracks, that some teams will be quicker than others, and it isn't just simply Red Bull, then Ferrari, then the rest.
Yes, it would be Red Bull, then someone different every time. But joking aside, yeah, we're going China next, and it again is a very different track with a huge long straight. Might not suit McLaren at all, might suit Ferrari, and that'll chop and change. I do think that this is credit to McLaren for starting the year a lot better, but this is their sort of dream track, really, along with your likes of Qatar and Silverstone. So they would, as mentioned in our video with Oscar Piastri, he would just have high speed corners everywhere.
Good plug. Silver Rusty. I think it was called.
What a circuit.
Okay, right. Moving away from McLaren, and you've got written down here Leclerc P8. Sorry, Matt, let's talk about it. No. So thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Okay. So let's talk. I've been thinking, and it's not as bad as it looks. All right. 1/10 of a second to Carlos Sainz. Can we calm down? It just looks horrendous, like Hamilton to Russell in Bahrain, because it's really close in that midfield. We are used to seeing Charles Leclerc getting those extra couple of tenths, and I do want to question where those have gone, but it's not horrendous. These things happen in Formula One. Charles had a great run of form in qualifying before the previous race. But I'm also dead inside, thank you.
It is unusual to see, even though it is close, we know that Charles normally has the edge in qualifying, and that's where he delivers the most, and just hasn't seemed to have hooked it up in the last couple of races. That being said, when we were doing the quali watch line, you're like, oh, he's going to have to go purple in the middle sector to be anywhere, you know, getting near the front. And then he did it. And then for whatever reason, final sector just didn't work out. A lot of people would get into that final sector with a decent lap or whatever, and then just completely fall off. And it is only a couple of corners, but I guess it's the only real heavy...
That's literally the chicane. That's it.
Yeah. Like, and it's only slow bit on the track. So maybe that shows that a bit of weakness in certain cars and certain setups, that it's the only major slow speed bit apart from the hairpin, isn't it? So Charles, I'm not worried yet. It is just a case of we're going to repeat the same things. We're going to repeat the same things again and again, saying like, you know, just because Carlos is doing well doesn't mean Leclerc's doing bad, and it is close between them. That being said, you know, if I am surprised at how well Carlos is doing, particularly in qualifying against Leclerc. So it'd be fascinating to see how it
47-27 head-to-head before coming to this.
Yeah, but that's
47-28.
That's history. Doesn't matter. It's because the last race in F1, remember?
Yeah, that's true. Knee jerk and all that. Yeah, so question was, Tom Take's season asked what happened to Charles in Sector 3 on his final lap in Q3. Visually, it didn't look like anything crazy happened. In the post-quali interview, Charles was saying that you had just have one of those sessions a season where the balance didn't feel particularly off, and he couldn't quite pinpoint anything particularly going wrong. It was similar. It gave me similar vibes when Daniel Ricciardo said that the only thing that was wrong was the time with the feeling of the car. And that is the most petrifying comment of the lot when you're a fan of a driver, is that they don't know why they're slower. That makes me want to, yeah, never watch a qualifying session again. Saturdays like used Mercedes. To be. Yes.
They're like rinse and repeat. Hamilton. I mean, how many times have you heard that radio message?
Second off Verstappen. Where is that time, man? It's that's the most concerning point for me. Whenever they say that, you go, oh, okay, so you don't have a fix. So this is going to happen forever, is it? But yes, as you also say, Tommy, Carlos Sainz doing well does not mean Charles Leclerc is doing bad. It's 1/10 of a second. Charles is not performing perhaps in these last couple of qualifying sessions as we would expect. But if you take the last 10, he's been on the front row for 8 of them. So you can all shut up, please. I'm hurting.
And all the stats at the moment that are coming out are just showing that Leclerc and Sainz have been a lot closer than maybe we think in terms of like results.
I got slandered in the blooming 20th, the first prediction when I said that Carlos Sainz was comparable a lot of the time to Charles Leclerc.
Twitter that can't. I know, but it's ridiculous,
isn't it? Like, and now finally Carlos is like cooking, and those people are very quiet indeed, aren't they? Oh, they are silent. This is what we've said as well, is that Ferrari have one of the strongest, if not the strongest, lineup. Sainz, we've always said that Charles Leclerc and Carlos Sainz together are an incredible lineup. And they're showing that. They're both very, very close at the moment. So, yes, P8 is going to be a very difficult race to watch from there, because Suzuka is a difficult track to overtake. But we'll be live on Twitch, Matt P1 Tommy, if you haven't followed us on watch-alongs before. We will be live at 5:30 in the morning, UK time. No complaints, can't wait. Tommy, what are your final thoughts, please, sir?
Final thoughts that even as a Max Verstappen fan, come on, Sergio Perez, let's have like something to get a bit spicy at turn one.
Just a tiny little wheel bang, Lando Norris takes the lead. I think they can still stay in the race. Just a little, they've both gone wide. And Lando Norris leads.
And then Carlos somehow wins again. And then, then something happened. Carlos wins the race. And then Crofty goes, you can hear the cheers from the crowd, and then Russell's in the barrier.
Oh, dear. We haven't really spoken about Mercedes at all, but they baited us, didn't they, with potential upgrades.
I even said in the practice watch along, don't take anything from it. So FP3, put them in my top 5. Oh, this is the best we've done. And then 7th and 9th.
Although we do have to say that Lewis Hamilton outqualified George Russell by a significant margin. And I know that will go under the radar for everyone saying that Hamilton's finished and that George Russell is now the best qualifier in the world.
Exactly. But it's funny, isn't it, that Hamilton's outqualified George Russell by a big margin, and it's only two places. And then there's other places across and the grid, or Hamilton in the previous race where it was 1/10 and they were 3rd and 9th. It's just that incredible, incredible fight for P3.
It's just sometimes in Formula One, increments of time are all that matter, not the positions. Let's look at the times, okay, before we say that people are finished. Right, that is it. That's been a long podcast. Wow, goodness gracious me, 32 minutes worth of yapping. That is it. Tommy, you've had your final thought. Matt P1 Tommy on Twitch. P1 live shows are next week. Bath and London, have some tickets available if you want to come and see me and Tommy live. And we'll see you very soon. Lots of love. Bye.
Bye.
Make sure you follow us on all of our socials. We're Matt P1 Tommy on Twitter, TikTok, Twitch, and Instagram. You can also sign up to our Patreon at the link in the episode notes for ad-free episodes, full video interviews, and extra bonus episodes for as little as $5 a month. Finally, make sure you're following us on Spotify. See you soon.
P1 is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news.
ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.